Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I hope you had a good weekend. Welcome back to the show. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. And last week, if you recall, last week we were originally going to be, I was going to be not here. I was going to be in San Francisco last week driving our oldest son out there. And he was getting ready to move out there and relocate and start his career. And then Sunday night, we're on a little family walk. And the next thing you know, he falls off the skateboard and breaks his ankle. So I was here last week. So we were going to do, normally we would do a full Money Monday on the very first Monday of the month. But in this case, obviously that didn't work out. So we pushed that off with our good friend David Fisher, and the whole schedule got kind of messed up. But now we're here. We're live. We're in the studio and trying to get back at it. So if you want to look for something to pray for, I would just ask you to pray for our son Hayden, who's anxious to get out there. Mom and Dad, not quite as anxious, but he definitely is. So we're excited to see what God does there. But pray for him for quick healing and his transition heading out to San Francisco, definitely as a missionary in a very dark place. And going into a fascinating industry. He's in the game art world, so gaming. There's a lot of that out there in the San Francisco area, Silicon Valley, so we're excited for that. And welcome to the show again. Like I said, I hope you had a good weekend. So we're going to do a full Money Monday today with our good friend David Fisher. A lot of things going in different directions sometimes. The Dow Jones Industrial today, for example, up about 358 points and is climbing again. But the economy, based on coronavirus and the shutdowns and everything else going on, you just have a lot of mixed signals there. So we're going to work our way through this, plus some really astonishing numbers and potential growth and some things that could happen with precious metals. And we, both David and I, are hesitant to do what a lot of people, other people do in different programs, radio, podcasts, whatever, whether, you know, thinking it's skyrocket here, skyrocket there. They kind of talk in hyperbole and go to the extreme. So we're going to avoid doing that today, but some things that we need to look at and take very seriously. David, how are you? Good to have you back on.
I'm doing great. Feel great. A lot of great things happening in my life. But most importantly, the Lord, no matter what, is still on the throne, and that's the important thing.
Yes, no matter what's going on in our crazy culture, we can certainly rest assured in that. We were talking a little bit earlier today about that, and super excited for that reality, because I was saying God still rules the universe with his feet up, even when we're freaking out, the government's freaking out, that things are going on, crazy stuff out there in the marketplace. God is on the throne with his feet up, and we all need to remember that. So great to have you on, as always, and thanks for your patience and flexibility and not being able to go last week. But let's take a look at the markets and see what they've done year to date, and then we'll look at some major economic headlines, some things going on, a big announcement by the Fed last week, which seems to be about a weekly thing with those guys these dates. But the markets in general year to date.
So let's start out with the least performing asset, the Dow. Down 4.2% year-to-date. The S&P is finally up in the green at 3.26%. The NASDAQ of the three indexes, though, in paper, lead the charge, up 21.8%. But the winners, as I said in January, it would be metals will outperform stocks this year. Gold up 34.2%.
Wow.
And silver is blazing through the ranks, 59.2%, and most of that was in the last couple of weeks. And the reason is it's up so much, and gold too, is the year-to-date numbers of where money is flowing, $39 billion, were inflows into bonds and commodities, and over $200 billion were inflows over commodities. Outflows of equities was $39 billion. So $39 billion came out of equities year-to-date. Inflows in bonds were historical levels at $200 billion. And a whopping $1.15 trillion went into cash, i.e. money markets. So people are moving their money. and they're saying gold and silver is going up. I don't know if I want to have all my money in the stock market. Let's get some of the cash. Everything I've been saying, get some cash, get some gold, get some silver, diversify. Don't have 100% of your money in the market. And if you're hearing my voice and you have 100% of your money, or they're close to, in stocks and equities, be very careful. You should, this should, today, hopefully this program is not going to say move all your money into gold, because that's not my intention nor Steve's or anybody's, that who we're affiliated with, but you got to diversify into some cash and get some metals, because you're going to wish you would have done both a year from now or 2 years from now when we look back.
Yeah, and there's so many things going on, and that's why we continue to have these conversations. And sometimes people are like, hey, why do you do Money Monday stuff every week? Well, because Jesus and the scriptures talk a lot about money and possessions. We all tend to struggle with it in one way or another. And especially in these crazy times, it's hard to understand exactly what's going to be happening. That's why we have to continue to have this conversation, looking at the headlines. David's always spending so much of his time doing this, and then it's kind enough to come on here and help us to try to understand that every week. So in terms of big economic headlines recently, what are some of the highlights?
Just to run through them real quick. So the Goldman Sachs has been talking, has been saying a bunch of things. What they said here recently is that the market is kind of stuck in a fat and flat range, which is characterized by weaker returns. We saw that in earnings. They also are saying, but the market really is being fueled rather on inflation optimism. People believe that inflation is coming. We had this job report, switching gears here, last week, that 1.8 million jobs were added to July's unemployment. But even though that might be a great thing, we're still 10 million jobs out of people unemployed. And people like Jim Cramer says he's not too confident about this report, because a lot of the areas that are still being affected where people are unemployed, there's like restaurants and bars and things like that, are might even have some more headwinds against them. And Goldman Sachs chief economist said very similar things. So that's the big news headlines. The coronavirus aid package continues to grow. The U.S. debt is bursting at its seams as the Fed balance sheet, and now the news is coming out in Yahoo Finance that the U.S. is taking on too much debt and might cause a whole nother problem with paying Social Security. So Morgan Stanley is saying that. But the biggest one, Goldman Sachs is warning that the dollar reserve currency might be coming to an end.
Yeah, hold that thought. We're talking to David Fisher of Full Money Monday. David Fisher at landmarkgold.com. A lot to talk about, these big headlines, what's going on with gold and silver, what's going on with diversification. Very important message. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, a Full Money Monday today, as we're going to be exploring a lot of different things going on with the economy and the markets. We're going to end up talking a little bit more about gold and silver, precious metals, as part of a diversified portfolio. And again, if you've been part of the show for a while, you know that we don't beat a gong and beat a drum and go crazy about precious metals. That's a central part of what David does with his business at landmarkgold.com. But it's not the central part of what we talk about. We look at the whole picture. We look at the whole economic picture, what's going on not only here in America, but around the world. All these things are interconnected at this point. And then talking about diversification, what's the Fed doing? What's the market doing versus what's the economy doing? And a lot of times everything's going in a slightly different direction. So it's very hard to kind of tell and have your feet on the ground as a consumer and as an investor. For most of us, it's very, very complicated. It still is for me. I've been talking about Money Monday stuff with David for coming up on 4 years. It'll be 4 years, I think, late this fall. And still, sometimes I'm still scratching my head going, what in the world's going on? Because just look back. I'm looking at the Dow Jones Industrial for the year. Let's just do a little pre-COVID. On February 19th, okay, this is not that long ago. It's August 10th. So we're talking what? 7 months ago. On February 19th, the Dow Jones Industrial was at 39,348. Then, just fast forward just a little bit, a month later, on March 23rd, it was all the way down to 18,591, right? So over a 10,000-point drop. Now it's back up to 27,791, and you see a lot of ebb and flow, up and down, up and down, and up and down as we move up from that low back in March. But it's still very unpredictable. We have unemployment issues. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there, which is why we continue to have this conversation, so that we all can learn and get educated seek the Lord's face, rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and to help guide our steps. And men and women perish for lack of wisdom and knowledge. And so that's why we continue to kind of beat this drum and have this conversation. And David, again, thank you for taking the time to be with us.
You're very welcome. We are really in really peculiar markets and have been for, you know, really 3 years now. But yeah, you're right, Steve. You got to do a lot of analysis, and sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And some things don't make sense right now with what's going on. But that's why you have to go to prayer and have the Holy Spirit tell you what you ought to do to be a good steward of the funds He's entrusted you with.
It's exactly right, because it is a part of our stewardship life, which is why we should be involving the Holy Spirit and seeking His face and doing your homework. I would never tell anybody, just go sit in your prayer closet, come on out, open Yahoo Finance, and then pick something. That would be ridiculous, and the Lord doesn't call us to that. So we have to make sure we're getting smart and getting educated and then seeking the Lord's face. And you combine all that, then you can live out a life of wisdom. You were mentioning some of the major economic headlines. We just kind of clipped through those real quick up on the break. But let's go back through those. Let's talk about the major announcement from the Fed last week. And then I have a potential headline I want to ask you about. But let's go through the biggies of recent.
Well, the big one, bigger than the Fed is, in my opinion, is Goldman Sachs warned that they said this in Bloomberg News, mainstream media, can't get any more mainstream than this. The title of the article, Goldman warns the dollar's grip on global markets might be over. This was, I kind of read it, and it's like, all right, I'm too busy, and I'm like moved on. And it's like, all of a sudden, I got away from my work, and we'll talk about that at the end of the program or towards the second half here. And I went back and reread this. Goldman Sachs said they put a spotlight on the suddenly growing concerns over inflation by the U.S. by issuing a bold warning, this is a week ago, Tuesday, that the dollar is now in danger of losing its status as the world reserve currency. Think about that for a second. Goldman Sachs, what incentive do they have? Unless they were just buying gold behind the scenes. That's the only incentive I can think of.
Right.
This is not a good warning statement. I don't think they're flying off the seat of their pants in this statement. It's not shoot from the hip. Goldman Sachs doesn't do that. So this should be just, we've had so many wake-up calls, but this is a big wake-up call. I think why they said it is because what the Fed said. And the Fed made a major announcement, alluded to it, and then they're saying going to make a bigger one, and just to beat it, instead of beating around the bush, what they've said that they're going to make a commitment to get inflation higher and pledging not to raise rates until it hits at least 2%. And all the analysts came out, like Ed Yardini and everyone, saying this is really bullish for gold, for silver. That's why you saw these rises, because of what the Fed is saying and what Goldman is saying. Here's a quote on what the Fed said. In its first ever long-run term goals and policy strategy statement, the U.S. Bank said inflation rate of 2% best aligned with its congressionally mandated goals of price stability and full employment. That announcement by the Fed was not Jerome Powell. That was Ben Bernanke in 2012. They're playing the same tune again.
Wow.
What happened in 2012 till now? Just print a lot of money. Just go into debt. But this time, I think they're serious about it. I think we are going to see a rise in inflation, because Goldman Sachs didn't say anything like this of the dollar losing its world reserve currency in 2012, nor ever that I know of. And Morgan Stanley and all these billionaires, they're coming out of the woodwork week after week, month after month, and saying there is a major financial problem getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
And that's all gold and silver is. It's just a sign that something big is getting ready to happen.
Yeah, it's just wild to watch these announcements come out of the Fed, because most people don't even notice it. It doesn't really get a whole lot of play in mainstream media. Yes. They just kind of come out and then they go, and then we just all go about our business. But these things are kind of shocking to hear about and contemplate, especially when we consider our past and consider where we're going, and the Fed's involvement, the federal government's involvement, plus the Fed, in really kind of underwriting and monkeying with the whole system.
George Washington, I quote this before, he warned, our founding forefather, he warned unsecured paper money would ruin commerce, oppress the honest, and open the door to every species of fraud and injustice. I'm not saying the Fed is of the devil. What I'm saying is this whole ideology of printing money and continuing to print it and not pay for the ramifications of it is just complete insanity. I mean, let's look at, if that was the case and that worked, we all would be speaking Latin because the Roman Empire would still be in control.
Right.
But
yeah.
It didn't work then. It's not going to work now, and it's going to, the greater the degree of their printing with this low interest rate environment, the greater the crash on the other side. And I'm not a Chicken Little, the doomsday kind of guy, but when everybody of who's highly respectable in the paper markets, billionaire hedge fund managers and Goldman Sachs, are putting out these warnings, we have to wake up. There's something that they might know that we need to learn about what's being said, because if anybody knows the inside, I think Goldman's going to know a lot before you and I. So they're saying something. And something's getting ready to happen.
That's right. So that's why you have to continue. And I know that we've been kind of monitoring this stuff and been talking about it for a few years, but the hole just keeps getting bigger and deeper as we continue to print more and more money. The economy gets more unstable with the situation dealing with COVID and the shutdowns and everything else going on, the politicization of it with the left's obvious obsession with Trump and all things Trump. And so you just don't know what's coming, but none of this stuff adds up to anything good, which is why we're talking to David Fisher today. And when we come back, we're going to move into, I'm going to ask about one headline that perhaps, I hope it doesn't happen, but it might happen in November. What would happen if that headline came to fruition? And then what in the world's going on with gold? We'll be right back.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
I love that line. If 10% enough, stay away from Jesus. Because we think we can just do that, right? You write the check. We're gonna have a little argument about, well, and it's 10% Old Testament. It's not necessarily the New Testament. Tithing and 10%. And by the way, is that 10% of my gross? Or is that 10% of my net? And so we struggle with that, right? You struggle with saving versus spending. You struggle with investments. You struggle with college costs. You struggle with all kinds of, and you know you shouldn't buy it, but you buy it anyway. Some people are just not that generous towards anything or anybody. We spend about 5% of our income nationally as Americans. We spend about 5% of our income on entertainment. Well, we used to anyway. 5% of our income on entertainment, gross income, and only about 2.3% on church and charity. So that's why the Bible and Christ himself speaks so much, so many parables, so much teaching about money and possessions, because most of us struggle with it in one way or another. And we know that the love of money, right, is the problem. It's not money itself. Can a Christian be wealthy? Absolutely. But God, again, we look at the outside. God looks at the intent of the heart. And so are we worshiping there? Is it an idol for us? How much does it control us? Do we control our money or does it control us? These are very big issues, and it all flows out of a biblical worldview, which is why we take the time to talk to our good friend David Fisher every week here on the show. Once a month, we do a full Money Monday. The other Mondays of the month, we just do an update, the last segment of the show on Mondays. And really appreciate you being with us as always, David. Thanks for calling in and being with us.
No, absolutely. Thank you. It's my honor, my privilege.
Absolutely. We both feel the same way about that, and praise God for it. We were going to talk a little bit about this, and then I want you to talk about kind of what the Lord's laid on your heart as you had a chance to get away, which is nice and rare. But before we do that, I did want to float, and a buddy of mine, Bill Mann on Facebook Live, was asking the question. I think a lot of us are starting to bat this around. I hope I don't have to learn the answer to this question firsthand. But could you imagine a little bit monetarily, economically, from a market perspective, from an economy perspective, what if by some strange move of God's hand, Joe Biden actually were to win in November? I mean, I have a hard time fathoming that. But what do you think from an economic perspective would happen? We had the Trump bump when he got elected, big businessman, billionaire most likely. And so everybody's like, this is going to be really good for the economy. And it was until COVID. But with somebody like Joe Biden, I would think it would have the opposite effect. What do you think?
Yes. And somebody must be looking over my shoulder. Bill, if you're hearing, you must have been reading my mail, as they say. And Steve, you must be doing it. I was going to if we had time after I talked about what happened here recently, I was going to actually talk about this. So,
okay.
Maybe we'll answer this also in depth. But I had a whole ideology, what will happen to the economy, to metals, to stocks, if President Trump gets reelected, and what would happen if Vice President Biden got elected. Stocks will go down if Biden gets elected, my prediction is. Why? Because he wants to raise taxes immediately, significantly. We will be stuck in a conundrum of moving sideways. Whoever gets elected, we're going to have a financial problem because the money system has been ballooned. I mean, it's not about President Trump or Biden at that point. There's a bigger problem that both of them it can't face unless there's some major, massive change. So I believe that Biden, if he gets elected, he's going to go the route of President Obama and talks about seizure of wealth, the bail-in. That's how they're going to deal with the big bubble of the debt structure and the Fed balance sheet. If President Trump gets elected, and I think this is going to be like forced into doing this. It's not like they're choosing. I think they're going to be forced. The environment will force it upon, just like the environment forced the Fed to lower rates.
Yeah.
And yields are down. If President Trump gets elected, you're going to see a huge run in gold. Why? Because he's a gold advocate. I think he wants to make the biggest splash as any president in history. He wants to go down. Nixon took us off a gold standard. President Trump has talked about this publicly in C-SPAN, a speech. He's nominated a very controversial person to the Fed board, Judy Sheldon. And she says, let's do with the Fed. Let's back our currency by gold. This is President Trump's choice. So we're either going to be forced into backing the currency by gold to keep the world reserve that Goldman says we're going to lose. And to do that, gold's going to have to shoot up a whole bunch, and the dollar's going to have to go down a whole bunch and somewhere meet in the middle. Or President Trump defaults on the debt, which he's done that personally 5 times in bankruptcy. It works personally. It does not work governmentally. But even 3 months ago, he talked about renegotiating the debt. That is a default. But if we wipe away the debt, it'd be very painful, but it would reset the country of America, the greatest it's ever been.
Yeah, it's just remarkable to think about all this stuff, which you know, 6 years ago, we weren't thinking about this. We were paying attention to the debt, and we were like, oh, we're coming up on $20 trillion. Now we're pushing $30 trillion, yeah. And that happened in the last 6 months. Yeah. It's just mind-boggling. We're in such a bizarre world. But one thing, you texted me the other day. You had a chance to get away. We don't, and neither David nor myself are sensationalist people. We're not hyperbole people. You can get plenty of that out there, but grounded in scripture and controlled as much as we lend ourselves to it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We try not to talk about sensational headlines and try not to look at things like that and go, oh, it's going to be the greatest or the biggest or the highest or the lowest. But you've kind of been struggling with the realities of some things on the ground and what you're seeing happen in the markets out there. So kind of take us into what's going on here lately.
Well, I call the markets how I think I see them. I mean, in 2017, January, I said stocks would be the number one performing asset. I got a lot of flack from people who bought gold from me and said I didn't believe my product. I got a lot of people flack in my industry. And, you know, it's like I'm just saying what I think is right. A couple years later, in September 2019, I said there'd be a correction in stocks by the end of the year, and the Dow went down 10% in December. I've said a lot of things. In January this year, I said gold and silver would be the number one performing asset class, and it is completely year-to-date. Also talked about a big correction happening in January. I said this in January, it happened this year, a bigger one than what we experienced just a month earlier. And that happened. Yeah, it was the COVID-19, but it was still a correction. I've said recently, you're going to see gold at $2,000. Here we are. Last Tuesday, it broke through that number. I said we're going to see $2,500 gold, maybe even $3,000 gold this year. I'm saying today, and I'm going to explain why I'm saying this, you're going to see $5,000 to $10,000 gold in the next 10 years. And let me, before you turn me off, not you, Steve, but people that are listening, saying he's nuts. Who's David? Where is David now? Okay, I get that.
Yeah, sure.
When you get away from your daily routine, because I probably have been labeled as a workaholic many times. I took a couple of days off. I was supposed to actually take a few weeks off, but COVID-19 said you're not going to fly to Hawaii or anything like that. But anyway, long story short, I started reading this article that I about Goldman warning this. I go, like, why would the world they ever say something like this? And I started researching, like what Ray Dalio said, who's the largest hedge fund manager. When gold was at 1,500, he said it's going to 2,000, and he was right. He also said you just can't print your way out of this. You can't continue to run deficits and print money. He was right. I'm reading articles today and just recently, the last 3 or 4 months. Gold is rising to $4,000 an ounce. Here's another one. If history is any guide, we'll see $4,000 gold. Here's another one. Today, gold likely to double, then triple. Here's another one. $15,000 price of gold. I could go on. There's people are saying $25,000, $30,000. So I've always talked against this.
Yeah, because normally you and I both would see that and go, it's just sensationalism, it's hyperbole, people are selling products, yeah. Whatever. It's usually we don't trust that stuff.
Exactly. And let me just put it out there. I'm not hurting for business. That's not why I'm saying that. That is not the case. It's just the opposite. Gold is the thermometer, and silver is the thermometer. It is the red light that's flashing that says there is a big problem coming. And otherwise, when gold has always risen these big levels, 100% of the time, something major happened financially over a period of time that says we should have been prepared. But this time, as I said before, the next major downturn is going to be at the core of the financial system, because I've said that this whole problem of fixing the problem is not by printing and issuing money out of thin air, but that is the plan by the Fed. So this time, the next meltdown is going to be at the core of the financial system. I'm not a Chicken Little, but tell me why Ray Dalio, why Jeffrey Gundlach, why Paul Tudor Jones, Scott Minard, I've just mentioned a handful of billionaires. Jim Rogers said just recently the next meltdown is going to be the biggest in his lifetime. They're all saying you got to get some gold and silver in the portfolio. And this is what's getting ready to happen. I hope I'm completely wrong, but so far, my track record, not been 100% right, but darn shy of it, and I'm not tooting my own horn. I hope I am so wrong in this, but the Fed has backed themselves in the corner. They have a big, they're trapped. They either got to tighten monetary policy and crash the markets by unwinding their balance sheet and stop the printing, or they got to let inflation run and gold will go wild and parabolic. And that's what they're in the beginning of this.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's just madness and hard to track. I'm going to put you on hold, David. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, trying to understand what's going on financially in the world around us. And are we prepared? Are we thinking ahead? Are we thinking, you know, experimentally? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you, talking about just some crazy things going on out there in the world of economics and our investments and the markets. And obviously, it's been a crazy year, as I was saying earlier. Just go back to mid-February. The market's at like 29,000. Then it drops to a little below 19,000 in March. And now it's back up, has reclaimed a lot of that. But the market's still down. Dow's still down about 4% on the year. But gold and silver are up, and they're up big. But what are they going to do in the future? And gold and silver, listen, let me just go back in time a little bit, because when I first went into syndication, which was back in the summer of 2015 for the radio show, and then the company that I syndicated with originally, David Fisher was doing segments on a lot of different radio shows around the country, talking about precious metals and the use of gold and silver in a diversified portfolio. And I'm like, Glenn Beck talks about that. And I've seen some other crazy things online. And it just seems like, you know, go buy some land in Wyoming or Montana, dig a pit, get a lot of guns and get a lot of ammo and get a lot of gas and get a lot of water and get a lot of gold. And so I was kind of dismissive at first. So David and I literally spent hours on the phone going back and forth, because my job is to be educated myself so that I can turn around and protect the airspace that we have, that God's given us. And then we started doing the show together. So we've never been given to hyperbole. We're not hawking a bunch of stuff. And you make your decisions. You get your information. You make your decisions. If anybody ever, sometimes people will call me or they'll text me or they'll send me a note on Facebook or whatever. Well, Steve, what would you do? Don't ask me that question. That's between you, the Lord, and whatever advice you're getting. But we try to have these conversations to try to be level-headed, but David's dealing with the writing that's on the wall, what's going on in the markets out there, what billionaire hedge fund managers are doing. And this points to a future that's kind of hard to swallow and kind of hard to imagine. But look, on January 1st, none of us were thinking we would be anywhere near the world that we're in right now with COVID and Black Lives Matter and the protests, what was going on in Chicago last night. It's insanity all over the place. And to think that that can't happen in the financial realm when we've been down that road before is just foolish. So we're trying to understand these things. And again, David, thanks for being with us and sharing this with us today.
You're absolutely right. And this is the thing I've wrestled with the most, sounding like a Chicken Little. You know, I haven't bought any water or storage food, or I don't even own a gun. I mean, people are probably thinking he's crazy. He should have a gun. I don't believe in the end of the world financially. I believe we're going to go through a big financial problem. So let's just be clear. And you're not going to use your gold and silver to go to the grocery store. It's just a hedge against other asset classes. But, you know, we never thought we would be here. You know, a year ago, we never thought we'd have a $3.7 trillion budget deficit that the Congressional Budget Office announced where we're going to be by the end of fiscal year in September. We're currently at $2.7 trillion budget deficit. I mean, that put in perspective, a trillion we hit before COVID-19 in January, yeah. $440 billion was like to $650 billion was the norm. We're way beyond those numbers. And when, you know, I've been in gold for a long time, 26 years. When gold was in 2000, $300, you couldn't have convinced me it was going to go to 1900 in 2012, but it did. Why? Yeah. Because they printed a lot of money. They did QE. In fact, if you compare the Dow, and I'm not anti-stock either. I own stock. I have money in the market. I just don't have lots of it right now. I'm not a big risk taker. So, and I'm not advocating sell out of stocks. So I'm just saying do what you feel is right for you. But when you compare the numbers, gold went up 6.5 times, 653% from 1999 to 2012, while the Dow went up 19.6%. And some people are saying, well, you're not factoring in the big downturn and the rise. Okay, let's take a look at 2009, called the Haynes Bottom, when it was 65 and change, and to the peak of gold at 2012, the Dow went up 87%, and gold went up 124%. So people are, you know, wondering, where is he getting his numbers? So here's the math. Not that past markets are indicative of future markets. There's no guarantees, but you have to start with something as a format. So if the bottom of gold recently was 1,040. Some say now it was really 1,225 when we broke through the technical resistance. And I said once we break through that, it's going to rise to 1,500 and create a new level. And some people say the bottom was 1,500. I'm going to make it the worst case, the ugliest looking for gold. Let's say it's 1,040. And if gold rose during this QE time and government high debt and low interest rate from 2001 till then, that's 6.5 times movement on $1,040. That's $6,760 a price of gold. If we use the inflationary numbers, and the Dow went up 9% in that decade of the inflation of the 70s, high interest rate, and gold went up 2,185% from $35 to $850. The number's staggering. It's $22,000. I can't even say because it's so staggering.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's why there's people out there saying 25 to 50,000. I'm not saying that. I don't think you're going to hear me say that unless we have just something insanely happen. But it's going to make a big move because there's no major deposits out there. There's no major supply. The supplies have been dried up. We hit what we call peak gold a long time ago in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, where the decades where the industry found at least 150 million ounce supply of gold. They found several 30 million ounce deposits and countless 5 to 10 million ounce deposits in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So there's a lot of gold out there. But in the last decade, we have not had any 50 million ounce deposits. We have not had any 30 million ounce deposits, and only a handful of 5 to 10 million ounce deposits, according to big CEOs in the gold industry who are the miners. So the physical shortage is here. It's been here for some time, but since COVID-19, the actual physical shortage has just increased significantly. Premiums have rose. I work with the largest wholesaler in the world, the vice president. Should tell you a little something about my company. I'm not bragging or anything. I'm in the sense of the heartbeat of it. About a month ago, they're sending out emails saying we're buying every product. Just about every product, except for a couple of areas, is getting a major squeeze on the market, which means prices will move up faster than indicative of what they would normally do. This is one of the flip side. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme, but it's an indication that something is brewing. I will say most Americans, though, are not in the gold market or silver market. They don't, but they should be. Because this is where we're going. Whether you also go as far as saying this, whether you do it with my company, I think I'm worthy of your business, or do it with somebody, do it for yourself, because that's what this is all about. Get some diversification. Get some money in cash. Get some money in gold. Get some money in real estate. Diversify. Because if the printing of money is any indicativeness of where we're headed for a major financial meltdown.
Yeah.
If we can avoid this, I don't know how what that would be. But this is why the bail-in is very clear now, seizing your money or inflating or defaulting or backing the currency by gold. Very seldom do all roads lead to gold, but get some gold and some silver. Silver is a good inflationary hedge.
Yeah, and again, well, I'm glad to use the word hedge because this is a matter of, no smart investor should be looking at, okay, one thing. I mean, there's cash, which a lot of people are like, cash. And the reason people don't like cash, at least people in the business, is because they don't make money. When you're in cash, they're not making money. Okay, so there's no incentive there for a broker to try to push their client into cash. But cash pulls you out of the maelstrom of the market when the market does something crazy. But real estate, and then you've got things like precious metals, and that's that diversification. I often say, David, in terms of a word picture, you've got a big sail on your ship, and you're out in the ocean, and the big winds are coming, but what's underneath your ship to give you some counterbalance? That's called a keel, and a sailboat without a keel is in big trouble. Just like, let's go back to our childhood days and a teeter-totter, and you got one person on the end, and then you jump off the other end. If there's no balance, you go crashing down. And so that's why diversification is such a big deal, and we have to be thinking ahead, watching what's happening out there in the market, but also listening to the people that are, none of us are billionaires. These are billionaire hedge fund people. And you hear, and we talked about this before, major banks buying and countries buying gold. You have to pay attention to these things. So in terms of just getting educated for a lot of people, they just don't know that much about it, which I understand. I was in the same boat 4 years ago. What are some of the best ways that we can get educated, David? How can you help us with that?
Well, we have a whole bunch of literature. Not too much to overwhelm you, but enough to give you a well-rounded education. They can get that. You also can go to watch our YouTube video series, as we're adding more as time goes on. Obviously, you can go to the internet and look there, but we find it the old-fashioned way is picking up the phone and having an interactive conversation. Let me give you a guarantee. I guarantee you will not ever be pressured by my company or my representatives. Never. In fact, that's the number one thing that people like working with us. You will never be told what to do or what dollar amount to invest. That's all your choice if you choose to do so. So those are a few guarantees, and I guarantee you that you'll learn a lot. Whether you do something, that's your choice again.
Right, so exactly.
There's no pressure. So, but get some education. You can roll over your 401k, your IRA into gold, portions of that. We never advocate putting 100% in one asset class, but just diversify.
Yep, got to diversify and got to spread yourself out, because when the winds come and they're coming, you don't want to have your sail up and nothing underneath your boat to kind of balance you out. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always, LandmarkGold.com, or the old-fashioned way to have a conversation. Imagine that. 844-879-8882. 844-879-8882. If you can't remember that, if you can't write it down, just send me a note on Facebook or send me an email, steve@thestevenobleshow.com, and I'll get you connected with David. David, as always, thank you so much for being on, and thanks for sharing. Thank you for your honesty, and thanks for helping us understand these issues.
My pleasure. My honor to serve you.
Amen. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again real soon. God bless you. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.